Okay, good. We're at Faith Bible Church, as you know. It's 10-3-2013. We're at the Thursday night Bible study. And we're still going through our series on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and in the believer and to the believer in dispensation of grace. It's sort of going to go somewhat with last week's. We dealt with last week the, we should not, it's our response, we're getting into now our responsibility to the Holy Spirit. And last week we dealt with that we shouldn't quench the Spirit. And so this week we're going to be dealing with the doctrine that do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Before we get into it, I just want to mention, you can't grieve someone unless they love you. You know, if they don't care about you, like, you know, somebody, you know, don't like me for whatever reason, like me, I don't really care. You know, I don't really know them that good. But someone that hurts you or grieves you, it's only can really hurt when that person loves you. And the Holy Spirit loves us so much. And no matter what we do, He's never going to leave us, never forsake us. Now, you can't find that anywhere in the world. That's why... Yeah, we started. That's why... there's a spiritual need in man that only Christ could fill, and through His Holy Spirit, for meaning and purpose to life, for significance, for complete acceptance, for unconditional love. And we find that in Christ. And we find that with this Holy Spirit to us. And so that's why we're going to deal with last week, and this week is a negative, where last week it was do not quench the Spirit. He wants to do some certain things to us, and we can. The idea is putting out a fire, quenching, putting out. Because a lot of time we don't respond, and we found out a lot of things get to. I don't want to redo the whole thing. Actually, get the DVD. And we missed you. We missed you last week. You're an encouragement to us, both of you. That we're commanded not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We're going to go to Ephesians 4:30-32. Ephesians 4:30-32. And it starts out right away. And what I want to get to in the Greek, this is in the mood of command. This is one of our commands, our instructions under grace. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And then we'll just go to the next couple verses. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. You're not just as children, you're dear children. You're dear to God's heart. And so what's the Holy Spirit want to produce in us? The next verse. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for its sweet smelling savor. So back to verse 30. You have what can grieve the Holy Spirit? Because first, Paul will always tell us what not to do or what to do, and then he'll tell us how to do it. And so, first, the command is, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And look at this. Think about what the meaning is here. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That means the Holy Spirit will never leave us, never forsake us. Even when we grieve Him, even when we quench Him, what He's trying to do in our lives, He's still within us. Now that kind of person, because the Holy Spirit is a person, right? He's not, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses would teach He's just a power. Right. You know, no, He's the third person of the Trinity. He is God. Mm-hmm. And when we choose, and we have in life, I know myself, sometime maybe we ain't doing the things we used to be doing, but sometime we're very stubborn. And last week we went over some things. Let me just highlight it. These are all things that are in our flesh that we're capable of. Some of the things that will quench Holy Spirit. Relying on our flesh to live the Christian life in our own strength will quench the Spirit to live for the Lord. God desires us to be thankful, right? Give thanks in all things. Why? Romans 8:28, God's working all things for our good, right? So we can thank Him for that. When we're not thankful, what's it produce? That's unbelief. Because if we're not thanking God in everything, we're not believing He's working it out for our good. I heard a tape I was listening to, Bob George. I used to listen to him a lot, and I still... when it comes to your identity in Christ, God used him so much in my life. And a lady, I guess, had...
You talking about Richard Jordan?
No, no, Bob George. He's been on the radio.
George?
Yeah.
Oh, George.
Years ago.
I used to listen to
Yeah, I learned God really used him in my life. And they do counseling. I think he's in Texas, discipleship counseling. And a lady, 5 years before, was out in driving, and she got an accident, and her fiancé got killed. Well, she couldn't sleep a night without sleeping pills, and she's probably on medications, dealing with it, you know. So she came there for counseling, and the guy first asked her, "Are you a believer?" She goes, "Yes, I am." "Do you believe the Word of God?" "Yes, I do. I believe that it's wholly inspired, you know." And, well, have you given God thanks in that? She goes, "No." He says, "Then you don't believe the Word of God." She said, "Yes, I do." He said, "No, you don't." She said, "Yes, I do." About George said, "Really?" On counseling session, you know. And she left the place mad, right? Because she was probably thinking, "How could I give God thanks in that?" Yeah. Right? But you know what? She came back the next day looking radiant. She says, "For the first time in 5 years, I said, 'Thank you, Lord, in this.'" You know? You know why I didn't say thanks? Because God brings us through. You don't have to look at your past and say how bad your mom was. She potty trained you too early. You were molested as a child. This or, you know, all the kinds of things to say why I'm having problems today. Our past died at the cross. That was you and Adam. So in your childhood, is dead. We can't use excuses today because our past. And we became, at the cross, and then through His resurrection, we became new creatures. So that's where we start. You know. And truth, if we'll allow it to, the Holy Spirit will take truth. He'll transform our thinking, transform even our emotions, because our emotions respond to our thoughts. So when we're not thanking God in something, because here, how can you thank Him? Because He said He'll work it for good, right? So what happens to hardships? What's it work? Tribulations or trials, problems, work what? Work at patience, right? Or endurance. Yeah, and it builds our character. That's a strong character of Christ in our lives. So the strongest people I know are people who've been through a whole lot. The weakest ones are the ones who were spoon-fed. And you know, I had heard it today too, that, you know, if going through things produces character, because God, for believers, God works it for our good, we do the most to hurt our children, because we don't want them to go through anything. So we take care of them their whole lives, keep them protected. They go off to college, they've never learned to make decisions and have some backbone, so what do? Fly the coop, you know? So anyway, if we're not thankful, then it's due to unbelief in God's faithfulness, and it produces fear. So I'm just highlighting last week. Can a believer fear, have anxiety?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, our emotions respond what we're thinking. Should we? No. And Paul in Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 6 tells us, be careful, be anxious for nothing. You say, yeah, but you don't know what I'm going. Nothing. I don't give no loopholes, you know.
Especially when you consider what Paul himself.
Exactly. So, and you know, when you've been through something, somebody can't jive you. You know, like I used to be doing drugs when I was younger than that. And then my neighbor, he had been doing real good. He was off him for a while, and he married this lady, and they were doing good, and they really wanted kids. Well, she got pregnant with twins. Now they had twins. And all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. What set him off? He went off out and started doing coke and sold her TV. And she moved in with, well, I was living for a while with us. And he came there wanting to talk to her, and I went to the door because I even said, I really don't like the idea of her coming there because I know it's going to happen. He's going to come there, and then I'm going to have to let him know, hey, she don't want to see you. You ain't, you know, and then maybe me and him's going to get into it or something, you know. But anyway, he came and wanted to see her. I said, if she wants to see you, if not, well, I don't know what to tell you. So she talked to him, and then he goes, hey, Paul, I can't help myself. And I go, whoa, stop right there. You know my past. You know I've been through that. It's not that you can't. You choose to keep doing that because you got two little baby girls and a wife. So, you know, and I know how hard it is. I remember like feeling like you're in chains. You know you shouldn't be doing it, but you're going out there before I understood grace. You know, grace truly sets us free. It breaks them chains. So, yeah, that's why Paul sometimes can be so straight up because he's been there. You know, God didn't allow him because he was a great man of God not to go through things, you know. Had that anointing and, you know, if you just got faith, everything will be good and, you know, all that garbage, you know. But anyway, it goes back when we're unthankful, it's unbelief in God's faithfulness. And that leads to fear. So it can be, and here's some different words in Scripture and just that could relate to that. So you got anxiety, and the answer is Philippians 4:4-7, the antidote. Doubts, indecision, superstition, that's associated with idolatry, magic. Withdrawal, loneliness, the definition kind of without friends, and fear of people. Worry, to be troubled or distressed, akin to anxiety. Inferiority, sense of inadequacy, cowardice. Suspicion, which is distrust, a state of distrusting someone or something without sufficient evidence. Hesitancy, a state of indecision. We went to Ephesians 4, being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Depression, haughtiness too, comes out of the flesh. the state of being proud and vain, arrogant, scornful, 2 Timothy 3:2, or shy, drawing back, or distrustful. So all these characteristics belong to the old nature. See, when you know that, you know where the thought's coming from. Because what Paul tell Timothy? We haven't been given a spirit of fear, but a love, courage, and a sound mind. and so they belong to the old nature, and they're found in some degree in every believer's life. The unsaved then are completely controlled by the sin nature, but the believer can go to the Word of God and before His throne of grace and prayer, fear can be controlled in the believer's life by the Holy Spirit. And the last thing I had put was legalism causes fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Legalism says you got to perform for God's acceptance, and if you don't, He's going to punish you. Grace says God's not going to punish you. He's training you. He's disciplining you, training you. Paul says, in view of God's mercy, His loving kindness, what? Offer your bodies. See, there's grace motivation. So, so tonight, again, we see in Ephesians 4:30, 31, 32, the Holy Spirit's never going to leave us, but it grieves Him It hurts his heart when these things happen. Bitterness. Because I was looking at these things, because we can look and see in a believer's life, you know, and you say, oh, they went out, committed adultery, you know, or they're greedy for money, they're covetous, you know, different things, or, you know, obvious things. But how about bitterness? That comes from unforgiveness that starts, it's like bitter, it gets worse and worse, you know, it's sort of like wine that keeps, what do you call that, what it does, for fermenting. And the Holy Spirit that grieves him. And you know what we were created for? How does the Bible define God? There's many definitions, right? He's righteous. He's holy. He's omnipotent, you know, all-powerful. He knows everything, omniscience. But it also says God is love. In his essence of his being is love. Now, he created Adam in his image, right? Our bodies are containers, or the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to express his love and his truth out of us. And why do a lot of time we get sick and stressed? Because we're not created to have bitterness or unforgiveness or hate. Because what that does, it eats us away and it can cause health problems. You know. So he says, let all bitterness. And will you see that let all? I didn't look it up. But it sounds like in the Greek, it's something that happens to you. It's the Holy Spirit trying to get rid of that bitterness in us. So let him do what he wants to do, because what he wants to do is good. You know, you ever kind of hold on to something? It could be whatever. And then finally, God has convicted your heart, and he's went maybe years just working in your heart. And you finally say, you know what? I'm sick of it. Sometimes we got to get sick of being sick of being sick of it before we do something. And then, God never takes anything away without replacing it. I'll give you an illustration. I always snatch good illustrations. That's not mine. Actually, Bob George used to use this. I don't care who it is. If it's good, I'm snatching it. You know, I'll give him credit. Anyway. Hey, you know, a little boy or a little, especially a little boy with the little, a girl with their doll, but a little boy with his maybe stuffed dog, or I remember I had one that did something. I always wanted a dog. My dad wouldn't let me have one. So I got this one. It did something. I love that little thing, right? Well, you know, if you try and take that stuffed dog or puppy away from that child, what are they going to do?
Cry.
Cry, scream. I want my doggy, right? But what if you gave him a live puppy? You took that away and you gave him a live puppy that can love them, run with them, lick their face, give them kisses and have fun with them. He forgets all about the stuffed animal. And that's what God does. When we allow him to take that area that shouldn't be there because we're a child of God. You know, and so it's inconsistent with our identity and our walk as a child of God. And when we let him have it, what happens? He replaces it with something good. And you say, why did I wait so long? I remember that one time it hit me. Why did I wait so long?
Yeah.
You know? So
worst enemy.
Huh?
Be your own worst enemy.
Oh yeah. You know. But when we do respond to the grace of God, because there's a thing, it's God who works in us both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. He's doing the work in us. Right? He even works in our will, but he doesn't overrule our will. He allows us, because otherwise we couldn't respond in love, right? That we would be robots.
Right.
And how could that bless God's heart? He wants us to trust him and just honor and revere him and realize Father knows best, like the old program. And so let all bitterness and wrath. Wrath is the idea of violent anger. Because that's what bitter unforgiveness can start. It becomes bitterness, and it can literally, if it's let go, wrath, violent anger. And then you got an anger. What scripture say? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. I think that's in marriages, and it's very good advice. Because if you're thinking about I'm married, and I got a great wife, y'all know Mary. But Mary ain't perfect. And I ain't either, but we're perfect for each other. But if I think of some, maybe I ain't some big thing, you know, with her. But if I go to sleep thinking about it, when I go to sleep thinking about, a lot of times I wake up and I'm thinking about it. Now things add up, right? And now you start getting angry and you start getting that bitterness, you know. So that's why you realize God's forgiven me, so I'm going to forgive them. Right. And I'm going to love them anyway, even if they're doing something I don't like. Because the Holy Spirit loves us when we're doing things that He don't like. And so, and clamor, it says, let all bitterness and wrath, oh, we're in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 through 34. Or 5:1, 5:2. And clamor, now this can, I think, bring a little conviction. It's a loud outcry, shouting. You ever get in a shouting match with your husband or wife? Or screaming at the kids? This is what I'm saying. I was kind of convicted on these things, because these ain't them outward things, you know, that are so obvious. Sometimes we can live with it and not even think about it, you know. And evil speaking, that could be what? Gossip, it could be whatever. He says, be put away from you with all malice. And that malice is what? The idea of, you know, you're going to get somebody back instead of forgiving them. You know, instead of giving them forgiveness, I'm going to give you something else. Yeah. You know, take the knife and kind of dig it around a little bit. So, these are things, because you just walked in, the message tonight is Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul commands us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And so these things grieve the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I always want to say, Lord, convict my heart. I don't like when He points out something. I don't like to think I have certain things in my life, you know. But I do want to grow. And in order to grow, sometimes the light's got to be shed, the light of Scripture, and the Holy Spirit turn the light on in your mind, so you see them things, then areas where the flesh wants to keep that control. Now, that's a negative, right? Get rid of these things. Let the Holy Spirit take them away, and like God will replace it with what? Verse 34, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Completely different from malice, right? Anger. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Has God forgiven us for how much? Everything. Our past sins, right? Today's sins. He's already forgiven the sins we'll do to the day we die, because Christ died 2,000 years ago. We weren't even born yet, so all of our sins were in the future. God took them. He knew everything. He knows the future before we're even going to do it, and put them on Christ. And they're behind His back. He'll never bring them up to you. When you sin, God don't bring up your sin. The Holy Spirit brings up your identity and tells you, this is who you are. Why are you, you know, rise from the dead, Paul talks about in Ephesians. You're not dead anymore. Don't sit there with them. And then he said, be therefore followers of God as dear children. You're just dear to God's heart. And so God is loving, God is forgiving, right? So let God be God in us. Let Christ be Christ in us. Express that love and forgiveness. Do you ever stop and think when there's a temptation, when there's a somebody does something to you, that it's an opportunity not to get them back, to express God's grace, to show the power of the Holy Spirit? Because it takes that. Because it takes everything. Because our emotions, what? Our flesh, when somebody does something to us, what do you want to do? Get them back, and get them back double, so they won't even think about it. Got the head going, right? Don't you do it. I don't want to hurt your neck again. But the Holy Spirit wants to produce and to show them grace. And then, even the unbelievers, maybe at work or in our lives, we have to remember, flesh and blood are not our enemies, right?
Right.
But that's what we see. Right? We see that person doing it, but It's what's behind that. And if we can keep that in mind, we can realize, I feel sorry for them. Satan is using them, manipulating them. And it could be a believer.
You know?
And the Holy Spirit wants then, verse 2, and wants us to walk in love, conduct our lives in love, as Christ also loved us. And when did he love us? God demonstrated his love in this. What? While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us, and the cross demonstrated that love. His a sacrifice. So praise God. So the idea there is, grieve means what? To cause pain, to cause grief. And again, like I said, you can only grieve one who loves you. The Holy Spirit just loves us infinitely. And when you think about that, how tender and how undeserving we are, right? All of us come up short, right? Where's that guy who laughed at me? I say every morning I come up short. He's thinking of my height. Bust out laughing. But I don't really care because I like when I'm teaching or preaching to have humor. I think it loosens people up a little bit. And like I posted on Facebook, Christians can have fun when we had our outing. So let's look at We looked at last week kind of about quenching the spirit, how fear and the different characteristics that can have. We're going to look at anger and its many varieties, manifestations. We looked at in Ephesians there where it talked about bitterness. The idea is bitter hatred. See, when you don't forgive, it's like acid that eats away the container it's in. It actually hurts us too. But when you don't forgive, it gets hotter and hotter, and you think about it more, and you think about it, because your flesh likes it. I got their mind on this instead of on Christ. And that's my goal. I don't care what your mind is on, Satan says, as long as it ain't on Christ. I don't care if it's on your religion. I work good in religion, Satan says. But it's bitter hatred. Malice is a desire to hurt others. It's evil in action. Turn to Colossians 3, 8 and 9. Here's another thing the Holy Spirit doesn't want us to do. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. When did you put him off? The moment you trusted in Christ. You died. Now, that's true. Right? God said you died with Christ, Romans 6. You were buried. You rose again in Christ. You're a new creation. Now, that's who you are inside. Now he's saying just throw off them old rags. But it's God who does it in us. But there's our will. It's allowing us to make a choice to apply the grace of God. So lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Because you see, I didn't write down what's that, but it says, Paul says to put off, right? In another place. So it's recognizing I did put it off. I've been crucified with Christ. I don't crucify myself. I couldn't crucify myself. If I crucified one hand, how could I crucify the other hand? It's you were crucified with Christ. You died with Christ. You were buried and you rose and now you're in union with Christ. You're think of your head and your body. You say, well, Christ is in heaven and he seems so far away, right? But what about your toes? Your head's up here and your toes could say, oh, it seems so far. We're connected. We are one. We're in union, like Martin Luther said, never think of yourself apart from Christ. Because when you do, you're doomed to fail. I lost my page. See, and have put on the new man. Where is that? In the resurrection. Your new creation in Christ Jesus. Which is renewed in knowledge. So how are you transformed? By the renewing of your mind. That's why we got to get into the Word. The Word It said it works in us, energizes us, and it starts transforming. Don't be conformed to this world. You don't got to do anything to get conformed to the world. You know that? Just, you'll be around out there, and they'll feed you, and they'll try and pressure you into their mold. But in order to grow, all we can do is healthy things. We can't grow ourselves. Like children, you know how fed they want to grow, and they put the things up on by the doorway. And every inch, you know, month, they want to, I want to grow, I want to be 21, you know. Until you get 21, 30, and then you wish you could go backwards. Right? But we can't grow ourselves. What we can do is healthy things. Getting into the Word of God, fellowshipping, prayer. That God's speaking us through His Word, we're just talking our heart to God. And that wonderful living relationship. So in verse 10, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. I got a feeling that wasn't the verse I was looking for, but it went with it anyway. Clamor, the idea of shouting. So next time when that pops out of you, remember where that's come from, the flesh. I don't know, you get convicted, I do. Because, you know, when you point, and I never directly try when I'm preaching or teaching at a person. So if I'm looking, sometimes I go, I'm not thinking about you or whatever. Because, you know, you're just looking out. But if I'm saying something, I got three fingers pointed back at me. So to me, it's sort of like what they say. You know, whatever you say, remember the old saying? Whatever you say, I'm rubber, you're glue. It bounces. Yeah, well, as I'm sharing, I get as convicted as anyone, but I'm glad God does it. Then we have envy. It's the feeling of displeasure produced by possessions of others. Titus 3:3. A couple of books to the right. The last T book. Titus 3:3. We want to remember something. Because we ain't where we was. Maybe we ain't where we should be, but we sure ain't where we were. But we should never look down on other believers and think, a believer should never think he's better than somebody. You're better off. But we're not better. Because remember this? For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, that's various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hating one another. Then we have resentment, the idea of indignation, ill will, suppressed anger. You know, there's a thing in Christendom, because it's taught that we should forgive. You know, so especially in legalistic churches, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. They go back to the kingdom gospel. Christ teaching under law. And so they know they're supposed to forgive. I remember a lady at a church, this legalistic church I went, she goes, I know I got to forgive them. I'm thinking, you don't want to forgive them. That ain't grace. You know, what Jesus say, if you don't forgive others, their trespasses, your Father in heaven won't forgive. That's what she was under law, under legalism. And so, what happens is, when we don't forgive, it gets suppressed, right? You push it down. Or, you deny. Because that's a lot of times, because a good Christian, you know, quote, this is taught, good Christians don't get angry. They don't get mad at people. They just walk around with the joy of the Lord, smiling all the time, very calm, the peace of God. So what happens is, people fake, they tell them, fake it till you make it, right? So instead of, when you forgive someone, doesn't mean you trust them. It doesn't mean what they did didn't hurt you or disappoint you or whatever. So it's quite, did God just let our sins go? And hold it in and just say, oh, I'm just going to love them and they're cute. No. God dealt with it, right? He told us. God demonstrated His love in this. What? We're sinners. We were born that way. So he got it out. He didn't just hold it in. He poured his wrath on Christ and got it out. Now, when somebody sins against us, you don't deny they hurt you. Matter of fact, you got to get it out. If it's sizzling in you, I mean, or if you can just choose to forgive them and not, but the idea is not saying, you like, you know, I've had somebody, I ask them, forgive me, and they say, for what? That ain't forgiveness. Just saying, I don't even know what you're talking about. Forgiveness is like, you hurt me. That hurt me. It's better to say that so you're not sort of making it more personal, though it is personal. That hurt me very much. My heart was broken. I was grieved, just like we're studying about the Holy Spirit. But I choose to forgive you. Now, you're not getting that suppressed anger. You released it. And you know what you do? You release it to God. What did David do? Remember when his son Absalom was chasing him down, kill him? And his confidant, his best friend, I believe it was Bathsheba's father, he kept that in. That was that suppressed anger. And he got David back later on. And David said what? Knock their teeth out. Curse their children. That's in the Bible? Yeah. Oh yeah. But you know what? David didn't do it. What did he do with his anger? He took it to God. And when later he's remembering God's promises and God's character, that God always does the righteous thing, I'm going to leave it in so many words. I'm going to leave it to you, God. You can better take care of him. Now he got it out and his whole heart and mindset was changed. So what we need to do, if someone hurts us, you hurt me, but I forgive you. Because Christ forgave me. What a witness to unbelievers especially, right? When they see that. So what happens, if you hold it in, you get resentful, and then you have ill will towards that person. Usually, when you get a chance, you're going to gossip about them. And gossip is not always made up stuff. You know, sometime in churches, you know, they preach against the filthy five and dirty dozen, but gossip, like two old ladies sitting in the middle of the row. On the left side, nobody's asking. the pastor's preaching against drunkenness. Yeah, pastor, preach it. Like my brother here. Preach it. That's Holy Spirit. I know that's Holy Spirit. Then about lying. Oh, he's preaching good today. And on about the filthy five. And then he started preaching about gossiping. And they go, he's meddling now. now it's about me. So a lot of time it will come out then. If I hear something, then what will this type of believer who's in that mindset, what do we got to pray for them for? I want to pray for them. And then what? Oh, sister, brother, you know, we got to pray for so-and-so because they're just struggling. They're just messing up in their life. You know, they're living like carnal. You're going to get them back, you know what I'm saying? And we don't want that. We want... You know, in a church, I'll tell you, if we don't apply the grace of God, what was going on in Galatians church? What did Paul tell them? Watch lest you devour one another. And they were a church that had been taught grace, so we have to apply that grace. Criticism will come out, so criticizing. Revenge, to inflict punishment in return for injury or insult. Wrath, these were them words in there. Violent, resentful, anger, rage, fury. And that's sometime how things will just pop out. If you keep holding them in, pushing them down, pretty soon, like Malcolm Smith says, you push lizards, enough of them down there, pretty soon there ain't no place to go, and they grow into dinosaurs, and they just pop. And that's when you see somebody, some little thing set your husband off, your wife off, your friend off, and you go, man, because all that was pushing in, and then one thing set it off, and my wrath is out. How about hatred? A violent dislike, animosity. It's the opposite of love. Seditions, the idea of rebellion, dissensions, and divisions. You know, it's not God's will for denominations. That divides people, don't it? You know, usually somebody, when you tell them you're a believer, what's the first thing? Where do you go to church? What denomination? Because, and I do it too, for one reason. I want to know where they're coming from, so I can know how to talk to them in a certain way without being rude, but also pointing them into a deeper understanding and grace. But denominationalisms, divisions like that, are not God's will. There's one church today. It's called the Body of Christ. Well, you know, somebody asks you, how big's your church? Say, big, huge. We're all over the world. You know, the Body of Christ. That's the church we belong to. And that's the only label God gave us. A child of God, a member of the Body of Christ. Not Baptist, not Methodist, not Pentecostal, Charismatic, Lutheran, whatever. And then how about gossip? Or unforgiveness, the act of not forgiving. Jealousy. Fearful, resentful, envious. Let's go to Galatians 5:20. Start in verse 19, because this is in the flesh, and Paul and Peter also talks about how that sinful nature is corrupting. Our sinful nature, when we become a Christian, it don't get no better. It just gets more subtle and sly. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Okay, you know, every believer would say, oh yeah, I agree with that. And then he gets another thing, witchcraft, which is sorcery, idolatry, drugs can be a part of witchcraft, magic, being brought under a spell, a hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, seditions, heresies. And that wrath is the idea of outbursts. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like. As I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So that idea is, if a believer got caught up in that, Paul is not saying that you're not going to heaven. These are characteristics of the flesh. Anyone in Adam, still in the flesh, will not enter the kingdom of God. It's not talking about believers. You have eternal life already. We are part of the kingdom of light. We've been transferred, right, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And where was that? 5:20? Okay. So them things are in our flesh, and we have to be aware of that. They're traits of the old nature, and so can be manifested in our lives if we're not careful. And some people say, oh no, not a believer can't have any of them things. Oh really? Then why did Paul have to write to all the individuals in all the churches, the different churches, about sin in an individual's life and how to overcome it? That's why we have to be aware. You know, if we're not aware of what our flesh is capable of, then we're going to be caught unaware. You know, that's why Paul tells us, put on the whole armor of God, right? Because Satan works through the flesh. If we realize and we walk and realize that we died with Christ, that its power has been broken in our life, we don't have to give in to it, and I can serve God now. And that's a wonderful thing. Like them things are taken away, like take away the stuffed animal from the little boy, and then what? God, you give him a live puppy, and he forgets all about that. And that's what God wants, these things out of our life, so he can manifest his love and his truth and his grace to us. And so we can be a light in this dark world, right? And he wants to, when you're walking in the Spirit, don't you just have that spiritual joy? There's none like it, man. I mean, it's just, you got a song in your heart. You know, it's beautiful. And so he warns us about it, but also how to overcome it. So that sin nature Where's that traced back to? Adam, right? Let's look at we're going to just glance a little bit in Romans chapter. Well, Paul starts in Romans chapter 5:12 all the way through 8:14, dealing with the whole sin issue and life in Christ, the Holy Spirit in us. That's the mechanics of the Christian life. And in Romans, he talks about grace through Christ, right? By faith. So in chapter 5, he talks about we were in Adam, we were taken out of Adam, placed into Christ. Chapter 6, we died with Christ, we were buried with Him, and He rose with Him. He had victory over sin, didn't He? We share all what He did. We have victory over sin. What to say? We're more than conquerors. You know, the church is not a hospital. You know, where we come in, oh, just been beat up. You know, I had a rough week, but I didn't come here to as a victim. I come here as an overcomer, that God's working it all for our good, you know. And so that's Romans 6. Get to know that. Pray about it. That's the mechanics of the Christian life. You're not going to resist sin in your own strength, because sin is too subtle, Satan's too clever. But reckon yourself dead to sin, because God said it, and He broke the power of sin. And the only way you're going to overcome that is by reckoning it. Reckoning don't make it so, it's so. Reckoning is just how I appropriate by faith what I have in Christ. Then Paul deals with, in Romans chapter 7, what? The believer's battle with sin. See, I believe that's a believer who got themselves back under legalism. What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. And the best you can do in legalism and your own strength is what Paul say, "O wretched man that I am, who will free me from the body of sin? I'm done trying, God. I'm sick of it." And God tells him, Jesus Christ. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the Alpha Omega. He's the answer to every problem we have in life. Christ in us, your hope for glory. I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. That's why you got to keep getting in the Word, because, you know, if you're in the Word a month ago, that ain't going to be fresh in your mind. We have to keep renewing our minds continually. And then in chapter 8, he talks about how we overcome sin by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, Christ in us, as we depend on Him. So we got a couple minutes. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Then we're just going to highlight it. Here's what I was talking about in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. How are you justified? Means declared righteous. How are you declared righteous before God? By faith. But just faith, it's not just any old faith in anything. I could have faith in Buddha. Am I declared? No. It's faith in Christ's blood. It talks. That's why you compare verses with verses. So it's, we have peace with God. I'm sorry. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith and this grace wherewith we stand. We stand in grace. We live in grace. Praise God that it's not legalism. Praise God that He sees us unconditionally loved, holy, without blemish in his eyes, because we have Christ's righteousness. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so. Say, I like that, man. Let's rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And I love rejoicing, right? But then all of a sudden you say, Paul skips to, now why you got to ruin it, Paul? He says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Say, what? Is this a misprint? And not only so, but we glory. How can you glory in tribulations? How can you glory? Tribulations is rough stuff, right? And Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have troubles because we live in a fallen world. But there's something you need to know. See, growth takes... how's it put? You got to know some things. You got to know from what? The Word of God. And you got to rightly divide it, right? You got to reckon it to be so. That means count upon. And then you get growth. So he says, and not only so, but we also glory in tribulations, also knowing we know something. God's working out things, Romans 8:28, for our good, right? Not everybody's. There's a lady who came to my Bible study, and she said, yeah, this lady, she worked in a medical center, and she says, she came, and I was telling her, don't worry, but she wasn't saved. That she could tell her, God's working all things for your good. And I said, what'd she say? She said, no. I go, that's not a verse to an unbeliever. And she just bust out laughing. Yeah, she meant well. But God said He will. So, if He works it out for our good, see, He don't make bad things happen. He'll allow us to go through things. Why? Because He's trying to do something to show us in Christ that we can do all things through Christ. And what happens? And knowing, but not only so, but we, in verse 3, glory in tribulations also. How can we glory? Knowing something, that tribulations work its patience. The idea is perseverance. You keep going. You're patient in your trial. And you're just focused on God. As you focus on Him, things get into perspective. When you look at your problems, they get bigger and bigger till you can't see God. When you look at God, you realize He's bigger, and all of a sudden that mountain becomes the little molehill. Tribulations work its patience, and patience, experience. We get some experience. We get some character. And you know where it says, the God of all mercy and comfort that comforts us in all of our tribulations or troubles, that we might be able to comfort anyone, whatever they're going through. I don't know if I did it word by word, but that's the idea. You want to be used by God? Then He's got to let you go to school. That's discipline. It's training. So God is disciplining us, not punishing us. That's different. Punishment is doing something in anger for a past act. That's legalism. Discipline is training for your future. So when God lets us go through things, we're being trained to trust Him, to apply His Word, to apply the grace of God in our lives. So we come through it stronger in Christ. Our faith is strengthened. And now we're prepared because we've been there. And you have compassion on the other person who's going through it because you know what they felt. And experience hope. God always gives us hope. And hope is an anchor for the soul. If somebody's in depression and they're ready to kill themselves, you know what they need? Because they're in despair. They ain't got no hope. Give them some hope. The Word of God. The grace of God. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given to us. That's what the Holy Spirit, He's continually trying to teach us of God's love. Because if we don't understand how God's love us, we ain't got nothing to offer anybody else. Because if He only loves us conditionally, how are you going to love other people when they do all the right things, right? But when you realize He loves you at your worst, when you're in rebellion He loves you, then you've got something to extend to someone else. Let's go down the verse 6. For while we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We didn't have strength to save ourselves. We didn't even have spiritual life. And then in verse 8, I'm just jumping because for time, we got a few minutes. But God commended or demonstrated His own, the idea, unique love. His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that's as much as most believers know. You ask them, what does it mean to be a Christian? Oh, I'm forgiven for my sins. And then ask them, well, do you ask Him to forgive you over and over? Oh, yeah. Well, I thought you said you're forgiven. I thought you believe you're forgiven. Oh, I do. See, there's a thing of believing and trusting. I can believe that's true, but the evidence, the faith has evidence. I don't ask God to forgive me. I thank Him He forgave me. He died once for all. And when we ask for Him to forgive us, because of one verse taken out of context, 1 John 1:9, that's to an unbeliever, you trample the grace of God underfoot. And it's a shame in Christendom. I love this in verse 9. Don't you love the much mores of Paul? And actually, it's the Holy Spirit. Much more then. So see, not only are we forgiven, that's half a gospel. Christ died for our sins, right? Is that the whole gospel, Paul said? No, He was buried and He rose. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified, declared righteous, how? By His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. God's got no wrath, no anger towards you. Nothing. Every drop of God's anger was poured on Christ when we didn't deserve it. And then, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, so brought together with God, two parties separated, brought together, and the cross did that, by the death of His Son. So what did the death do? It reconciled us. I heard an illustration, let me read the rest of the verse. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You know what that word life is there? It's not bios. It's not what you do. It's zoe. It's spiritual life. It's the same life God has. We're saved not by Christ's death. We were forgiven by His death. He cleared the decks so reconciliation could take place. We're saved by His resurrected life. We have zoe in us. What Adam lost when he sinned, the Spirit of God left him, and he was spiritually dead. Now, through Christ's resurrection, He comes and indwells us. The whole Christian life is Christ in me, living out of me. It's Christ in you. You are so blessed. You're unique. And you don't got to act like everybody. You don't got to act like the pastor or me or your whoever's on TV, some Bible teacher. You can be yourself. You got your own fingerprints. There's nobody like you, like your personality. And God doesn't want you to try and be like a Xerox mentality. Be yourself and let Christ express Himself out of you. That's freeing, you know. That's, I think, we'll stop there. But who produces the life of Christ in us? Holy Spirit, right? Because it's the Spirit of Christ. And so He does this all through grace, right? We don't deserve it. Each day we don't deserve it. So do we want to grieve that Holy Spirit who loves us so much? No. And so, though it's a negative, sort of a convicting kind of study, I think it, to me, I was thinking, God, I know I do at times, but I want to grow, and I don't want to grieve your Holy Spirit because He loves me so much. You know. Now, let me just tell you, for next week, it's more of a positive. You know what? I didn't bring it. There's three more areas we're going to deal with. Walking in Spirit, I think, being filled with the Spirit, and one other one. So it's more of a encouraging, I think. I mean, to me, this is encouraging because it shows us something God wants to do. You know, He's only shown us so we can get freed, so we can actually live that abundant life. So I'm going to close with prayer, and then if anybody has comments or anything, feel free. Dear Heavenly Father, we just rejoice, God, in Christ. Thank You that we're completely forgiven, God. Does that mean we should just go sin? No. Your Word says never. But because of that, Christ came. We were reconciled, and He lives in us, and He'll never lead us into sin. Your Holy Spirit will always lead us in righteousness, God. Always lead us in love, and love is the fulfillment of the law. We'll go on and beyond. Not just respect our parents. We'll really honor and love them. Not only will we quit lying, we'll speak the truth. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace. May Lord, teach us as we get into your word and through your Holy Spirit more how to walk in your spirit. We're only going to be here a short time, God, and may our lives be significant to touch other people's lives. If there's things in our heart that we haven't allowed you to deal with, Lord, convict our heart in that. Go in that area where we try to keep a shut door and just clean it out, God. And let Christ dwell comfortably there. And Father, if there's someone who maybe is listening through the internet or the DVD, and they're just saying, I don't understand any of this, it's because spiritual things are spiritually discerned, and without the Spirit of God, they can't. But they need to recognize that they're a sinner, they're born that way, we all were, and that Christ died for sinners, and they need to trust that He died their death. Not just knowing He died, but to realize it's for them. And they would be eternally saved, and Christ would come in and dwell their spirit, their heart, and their life would be completely changed. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So does anyone have any comments or...